Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Have you ever felt like, I don't know, like we're just bombarded with information all the time, but we're not actually getting any wiser? That's kind of the core idea, the big question that Bell Tower tackles.
Oh, yeah.
It's a thriller novel by Raphael Pond, and if you're interested, you can find the link to it on Amazon in the show description. Oh, and while you're down there, don't forget to like and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already.
Yeah, it's definitely a thriller, but it's also so much more than that. It really like grapples with these huge, really fundamental questions about technology and human connection and what it even means to be human in a world where everyone's constantly plugged in.
So, paint us a picture. What is this world like? What's got everybody so hooked?
Okay, so imagine a world where you have the internet beamed directly into your eyes, like 24/7.
Whoa.
That's the reality in Bell Tower. These things called glow domes, they basically give you like news, entertainment, social media, all of it, right there, all the time.
Sounds tempting. I mean, I can barely put my phone down as it is,
Right.
but there's got to be a catch, right? Like, every dystopian novel has a catch.
Oh, absolutely. The novel really digs into how this constant information flow actually, kind of ironically, makes people less focused, less creative. It's like they're losing their ability to think for
So
themselves.
it's almost like instead of technology making us smarter, it's actually making us, well, dumber?
Yeah, basically, they call it glower culture, and it's pretty bleak.
Yikes. And in this world, we meet these two brothers, Sasha and Hugo Sumser, who have very, like, contrasting reactions to
Well,
all this.
Sasha's this really radical figure, a meditation teacher who completely rejects glow domes. He's like almost like a prophet warning everybody about the dangers of technology, like the end of times.
He's a fascinating character. He opens a meditation shop and even buys a bell tower, not to tell time, but as a like a call to presence, to remind people to look up from their screens and connect with each other. That's pretty powerful.
Yeah, it's really striking imagery, and it's a stark contrast to his brother Hugo, who's a professor who's like really struggling to connect with his students who are, well, thanks to glower culture, they're all super apathetic and disengaged.
I feel like that's a challenge even today. Like, how do you engage students who are so used to, instant gratification and constant stimulation?
Right, exactly.
But Bell Tower doesn't offer any easy answers, does it? It just kind of throws you into this world and forces you to confront these uncomfortable truths.
Exactly. It really makes you think.
Now, Sasha doesn't just, rant about glow domes. He teaches these unique meditations that seem to unlock hidden potential in people. But of course, there's always a twist.
Right, like with Solosis, it's this empathy meditation that lets two people experience each other's lives.
What?
Yeah, and in the book, we see it transform the relationship between Ruxton, who's like a recovering alcoholic, and Sydney, a florist. It's like through this meditation, they can finally understand each other's pain and truly connect.
So if I'm understanding this right, it's not just about feeling for someone, it's about like actually feeling as them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's intense. I mean, do you think something like that is even possible in real life?
Well, that's what's so cool about the novel. It really pushes you to consider like the limits of empathy, you know? Like can we ever truly understand another person's experience? And if we can, how do we get there?
Deep questions. And then there's Max's, which is even more mysterious. It seems to unlock a person's full potential, but at a cost.
Yeah, we see this meditation transform Eli, a drummer, and Anna, who's a pilot, into these like superhumans called M-lights. They're masters of their craft, but it's hinted that they might be losing some of their free will in the process.
It makes you wonder, is there ever a pure form of self-improvement? Or are there always trade-offs?
Right.
Speaking of trade-offs, let's talk about Vicarium.
Ah, Vicarium. This is where the novel takes a really dark turn. It's a drug developed by Axiom, the same company behind those glow domes, and it allows users to actually feel the experiences that they're seeing in their domes.
Whoa, so it's like virtual reality, but like on steroids.
Pretty much.
Sounds amazing, but I can already sense the danger here.
Yeah, it's like the ultimate escape from reality, and Sasha sees it as the final nail in the coffin for humanity. He's convinced that Axiom is just exploiting people's addiction to technology, and he's determined to expose the truth about Vicarium, even if it means resorting to some pretty extreme measures.
Welcome back to our deep dive into Bell Tower. It's really fascinating how Pond explores this whole relationship between technology and power. It's not just about the tools themselves, but like who controls them and how they use that control.
Yeah, that's a great point. And we see that dynamic, that power dynamic, play out in Sasha's family, right? I mean, his own father is the CEO of Axiom, the company behind all this technology.
Oh, totally. Talk about irony, right?
It's crazy. And their relationship is so messed up. Like, we find out about this traumatic event from Sasha's childhood where his father basically forced him to get those glow domes implanted.
Wow.
Like, imagine that.
No wonder he's so obsessed with taking down Axiom. He's like fighting his own demons, his own personal history with this technology.
Exactly. It adds this whole other layer to his character, you know? He's not just some righteous crusader. He's deeply wounded, driven by this need to, like, right the wrongs of the past.
Right, right. But even with those good intentions, his methods are pretty extreme. I mean, he's manipulating these M-lights, using their enhanced abilities to stage these elaborate protests, even cause chaos at those Vicarium parties.
Yeah, and that's where things get really morally ambiguous. Like, is Sasha justified in using these people, even if he thinks it's for the greater good, you know?
It's a tough question.
And what about the unintended consequences?
Yeah, like the Tri-City suicides, those were a direct result of his plan to expose Vicarium.
Exactly. I mean, those events are a huge turning point in the novel. It's like the world finally wakes up to the dangers of this technology, but at a terrible, terrible cost. And it raises this question of, you know, how far is too far when you're trying to make a difference?
Yeah. And it's a question that haunts his brother Hugo, too.
Rightly.
He's torn between his loyalty to Sasha and his own conscience. I mean, he sees the good that Solosis can do, the potential for empathy and connection. But he's also horrified by the violence and manipulation.
And it's through Hugo that we start to see the cracks in Sasha's ideology. You know, he's so fixated on destroying Axiom that he's lost sight of the human cost.
It's like that saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Exactly. And speaking of hell, let's talk about the donor dog games.
Oh, man.
Some of the most disturbing scenes in the novel.
Yeah, the donor dog games. People competing for organ transplants in these brutal, dehumanizing games. Mm. What was Pond trying to say with that? It just felt so bleak.
I think it's a commentary on the desperation that this technology creates. You know, people are so focused on quick fixes, on instant gratification, that they're willing to do anything, even sacrifice their own dignity for a chance at a better life.
It's like they've lost sight of what it even means to be human. They're just cogs in this machine, you know, driven by their desires and their fears.
And that's, I think that's the danger of any technology, right? It can be used for good or for evil, depending on, you know, who's wielding it and what their intentions are.
So what happens after the Tri-City suicides? Does the world just, like, descend into chaos?
Actually, no. It's kind of the opposite. It's like this collective trauma forces people to reevaluate their priorities. You know, there's this this backlash against glow domes, a resurgence of interest in meditation and mindfulness.
It's like they're finally waking up from this tech-induced trance and realizing that there's, like, more to life than constant stimulation and virtual experiences.
Yeah, and that's where the discovery of the ancient bell becomes so significant. It's like a symbol of a lost way of being, you know, a forgotten path to connection and enlightenment.
I'm still a little fuzzy on that part. Could you remind me about the bell and why it's so important?
Sure. Hugo believes that this bell might be connected to this ancient tribe with telepathic abilities. It suggests that there are other ways to achieve heightened awareness and understanding, ways that don't rely on technology.
So it's like a reminder that we have this innate capacity for connection, for empathy, that we've somehow suppressed in our pursuit of technological advancement.
Exactly. And the fact that the bell was buried, hidden away, implies that this knowledge was deliberately forgotten or suppressed, you know?
That's creepy. Who would want to do that? And why? Welcome back to the Deep Dive.
Yeah.
Wrapping up our look at Bell Tower, and I gotta say, this ending really stuck with me.
Yeah, it's definitely not your typical happy ending.
Yeah.
But I don't know, it leaves you with this feeling of hope. Like, even in this world that's so, you know, saturated with technology, there's still this chance to reclaim our humanity.
I get that. It's not about, like, rejecting technology completely, right?
No, not at all.
It's more about finding a balance.
Yeah.
You know, like, how can we use it in a way that enhances our lives without, like, taking over completely?
Exactly. And the novel, like, hints at what that could look like. After those Tri-City suicides, there's a real shift. People start ditching their glow domes, seeking out meditation. They're, like, trying to reconnect with themselves and each other.
It's like they finally hit a breaking point. All that chaos It kind of forced them to wake up and see what they'd become.
Right. And remember Sasha's bell tower?
Yeah.
That becomes a like a symbol of that awakening, you know, this call to presence, to mindfulness in this world that's constantly trying to distract you.
It's funny when you think about it, all the noise we're bombarded with every day, ads, notifications, the news, it's exhausting.
And the novel explores that exhaustion through the vastus meditation, this really intense practice of stripping away all that mental clutter to really confront your deepest self. It's not easy,
Right.
but for some characters, it's a path to like this really profound peace and clarity.
Even Hugo, who's, you know, at first he's pretty skeptical of all this mystical stuff. He ends up having this incredible experience with Vastus. Like he finally gets a glimpse of what Sasha's been talking about all along.
And that experience opens him up to the potential of that ancient bell. Remember, it's implied that this bell was somehow connected to a tribe with telepathic abilities, right?
Right.
Like they practice deep listening, shared silence. These ancient ways of connecting that technology had almost wiped out.
So it's not just about individual enlightenment, right? It's about tapping into this collective consciousness, this like deeper level of understanding and empathy that goes beyond words.
Exactly. And that's what makes the ending, with its focus on Solosis, so powerful. You
Yeah.
know, we see people using this meditation to feel these old wounds, to bridge these divides, to build genuine connections based on shared experience.
There's this one scene where Sydney and Ruxton are walking through a park, and they see this couple doing Solosis on a bench. It's just a quiet moment, but it's so full of hope.
It's like this subtle but profound shift, you know? It suggests that even in this world that's been like ravaged by technology, human connection is still possible. It's still there waiting to be rediscovered.
Bell Tower doesn't give us all the answers, but it definitely leaves you thinking.
It does.
It's like a wake-up call, you know, a reminder to be mindful of how we're using technology and to prioritize those real-life connections.
It's a call to action, really. Like, what choices are we making in our own lives? Are we using technology to connect or to isolate ourselves? Are we cultivating empathy and understanding, or are we just, you know, adding to the noise?
Big questions.
Yeah.
And we want to hear what you think. What resonated with you the most in Bell Tower? Share your favorite moment, your thoughts on the ending, anything that sparked your curiosity, really. Head over to the comments and let's keep this conversation going.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep into the ideas that matter.